Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines. And today we're taking a look at three stocks to consider buying at bargains before they report their earnings next week amid the broader market comeback that we've seen recently. But before we get into everything, I want to say remember to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast, and make sure to check out our Zacks.com/promo page for a look into some of our services, portfolios, and more. So before we jump into these three stocks to consider buying ahead of earnings next week, I want to just quickly break down the market and some of the broader things that are impacting at the moment to give a better sense of what's going on with these three stocks. So the NASDAQ has surged about 11% in the last week alone as Wall Street decided it was time to buy some beaten down stocks despite the ongoing geopolitical uncertainty caused by the continued Russian invasion of Ukraine. Investors appear pleased to finally have really an updated rate hike roadmap. That could be one of the bigger catalysts over the last week. And the Federal Reserve last week said that it would raise its interest rates for the first time since 2018. The Fed will lift its core rate by 0.25%, so 25 basis points, deciding against a more drastic 50 basis point hike for the initial spike. Jay Powell and the central bank officials also signaled they expect to raise their core interest rate to nearly 2% by the end of 2022, and then around 2.75% by 2023 to help combat 40-year high inflation. There clearly is plenty of uncertainty remaining, and higher interest rates are historically a drag on stocks, especially growth names. But investors should really constantly be reminding themselves that interest rates are set to remain historically low even as the Fed ends its easy money policies. And Wall Street's certainly going to be most likely left chasing returns in equities if they hope to outpace inflation, which we mentioned is at 40-year highs at the moment. There could clearly be more selling to come in the near term, and it's extremely difficult to call a market bottom in real time. And the NASDAQ is still down, though we should note around 10% in 2022 and nearly 14% from its November peak. So it still has plenty of more room left to climb if it were to keep climbing. But also we should note that just because it's jumped 11% in last week, it's not like it's back up to where it was before. So it still has plenty more room to run. But as I said, hard to call a market bottom in real time. So these are always things for longer term investors to consider. With this in mind, we've seen Q1 earnings season officially get underway, even though the heart of it won't start for several more weeks with the big banks starting to report. That said, the earnings estimates and margin estimates are trending slightly in the wrong direction amid all of the economic and geopolitical turmoil at the moment and rising prices, certainly. So we should note that for Q1 of 2022, our margins for the S&P 500 for Zacks estimates are calling for 12.6%, which would be the lowest since the fourth quarter of 2020, and come in below all of 2021, which the lowest was in the fourth quarter at 13%. That said, though, if we look ahead to Q2 and Q3 and Q4, we're calling for a return to above 13%, which would be where we were for much of 2021. And then overall for the S&P 500 revenue, earnings, and margins, the longer-term outlook for 2022 and 2023 remains historically impressive, and we're calling for 7.2% revenue growth this year and 6.4% earnings growth. This would come on top of 50% growth last year for earnings and 16% revenue growth. Obviously, that's against a backdrop of a really easy to compare 2020, but then we're calling for another 9.4% earnings growth in 2023, 5% revenue growth, and then 8.6%. Now we're already projecting out for 2024 and 5% revenue growth there. So solid 3 years of growth on top of what was a blowout 2021. So with this backdrop, we're going to take a look at three stocks now that longer-term investors might want to consider buying at bargains ahead of their upcoming releases, which are all actually next Tuesday, March 29th. And the first stock we're going to take a look at is Micron, which trades under the ticker MU. So Micron is one of the largest makers of memory chips in the world. The company makes DRAM chips, which are featured in PCs and elsewhere, while its NAND or flash memory is made for storing data and can be found in mobile phones and other devices. Really, the memory space is crucial going forward, and it has been crucial for years and years. That said, it has been historically even more cyclical compared to the broader chip market and heavily impacted by pricing. That said, Micron is becoming less cyclical as it benefits from exposure into broader areas of secular growth. This concludes the vital data center segment, as well as connected vehicles and beyond, along with those other areas that they've been in for a long time. Micron's fiscal 2021 sales climbed 29%, and its adjusted earnings skyrocketed 115%. The company also provided upbeat guidance when it reported its Q1 2022 results in late February, and its chief executive remains confident in its ability to grow market share and benefit over the long haul through expansion within everything from electric vehicles, artificial intelligence, 5G, and then those other areas we've mentioned, data centers, cloud computing, all those key growth areas. The memory chip maker's fiscal 2022 revenue is now projected to climb 16% to hit $32 billion. With 2023 projected to surge another 16% to $37 billion. So 3 years of big growth on the top line. And then at the bottom end, we're calling for its adjusted earnings to soar 48% this year and then another 23% in 2023. MU's positive bottom line revisions help it land a Zacks rank number 2 buy at the moment. And Wall Street really remains super high on Micron, with all but 2 of the 17 brokerage recommendations Zacks has coming in at strong buys. Micron's semiconductor memory industry also ranks in the top 3% of over 250 Zacks industries at the moment, and the stock grabs A grades for value and growth at our style score system, which is a nice combination there. Micron also boasts a really strong balance sheet, and it does pay a dividend, even though that yield is pretty low at the moment compared to if you're looking for a dividend stock. Micron is certainly not the high yield one you're looking for, but it's an added bonus for a growth name within chips. Overall, the stock has been one of the standout names in the chip space for really over the last decade, even though during that period it's gone on some rather extreme swings. As we mentioned earlier, it used to be really cyclical based on how memory pricing was. Still, overall, it's up 830% in the past decade to blow away the semiconductor market's 520% climb, and it's roughly matched its large and diverse group in the past 5 years. The stock has also tumbled 16% in 2022, and this includes it popping around 1% in morning trading on Tuesday, so it's sitting around $79 per share, which puts it about 20% below its mid-January peaks. In Micron's current Zacks consensus price target of $110 per share, or just over $110 per share, represents about 41% upside to these levels at the moment. And on the valuation front, Micron has consistently traded at a discount to the larger chip market, and it currently offers stellar value, trading at 7.8 times forward 12-month earnings versus the broader semiconductor market, which is trading at 21 times forward 12-month earnings. On top of that, compared to its own valuation recently, it trades at a 70% discount to its five-year highs and right at its median during the stretch. So really solid value considering how much the stock is up over the last 5 years, considering everything. Investors might want to take a look at Micron as a longer-term buy. Obviously, if you're trying to get in on the near-term trade, it's a totally different thing, as you never know how the market's going to react to a stock, even if it reports strong results next week. But as I said, longer-term investors might want to consider Micron at the current levels in terms of valuation, considering all of its growth outlook for the long haul. And now we're going to take a look at another name that's also, as we mentioned, all three of these stocks today are set to report results a week from today on Tuesday, March 29th, and that is Lululemon, which trades in the ticker LULU. And the stock has crushed Nike and the apparel market and the S&P 500 over the last 5 years. It's up 400%. Versus about 145% for Nike and 100% for the S&P 500. That said, the stock has tumbled since mid-November alongside the market and many other growth names, and it warned in January that some of its holiday season sales would be impacted by a return of the virus and some staffing issues amid that vital holiday period. But that said, these issues are likely temporary in Lululemon remains at the top of its field at the moment. We should also note that on Tuesday, Nike stock surged. So this morning, Nike stock surged after the company beat its Q3 estimates on both the top and bottom lines. The recently struggling sneaker giant said that consumer demand continues to outpace supplies across its market, so it can't even the supply chain constraints are weighing on what would be even a stronger period. So that's a bullish sign for Wall Street long term, as people are still desperate to buy Nike, but there's just some near term setbacks that are preventing it from being even stronger. So with this in mind, let's quickly review Lululemon, who, for anyone who might not exactly know what the company is doing, even though it's in this broader world of athleisure, and it helped kind of start that world. So Nike has expanded from what was kind of just a niche high-end yoga clothing firm in the late 90s that not many people heard of into really a global apparel giant that certainly most people have probably heard of in some variation, even if you don't necessarily know what it is, since it has such an interesting name. Today, the company sells an array of athletic apparel for men and women, alongside clothing that can be worn to work and dates and the golf course and beyond. The successful athleisure business has helped change the way many people dress, and office attire was already becoming far more relaxed even before the pandemic. And now people are probably not desperate necessarily to get back in their really fancy dress clothes that are sometimes uncomfortable. So Lululemon had already been changing the way people dress everywhere, as I mentioned, from work to dates to just the weekend attire. And it doesn't seem like that's necessarily going to change as people have gotten used to being slightly more comfortable without looking like they're just wearing sweatpants and a baggy sweatshirt or anything like that. The company's success has forced everyone from Gap and Target to start their own athleisure brands. We should also note that the company has pushed further into outerwear to challenge companies like the North Face and others, and it's rolled out self-care products. And we should note that it's also purchased the digital-focused at-home fitness company Mirror. So that acquisition helps the firm expand into the at-home workout category that's competing alongside the now really struggling Peloton and others in the home fitness market that's actually even attracted the likes of Apple. So we'll see if that pays off in the long run, but certainly it's nice to see the company diversify a little bit, and it's right in its wheelhouse of yoga and at-home fitness. And even some of the stores that Lululemon has have yoga studios in them. I've been to one in Chicago, and that's kind of something they're experimenting with going forward, is having these more experiential stores going forward. The company is also always focused on its own direct-to-consumer business through online and in stores, and this model has continued to pay off as many department stores and malls really struggle to adapt and thrive in the current and changing world, where everyone wants just to not go to malls, it seems like, and not go to big old department stores and have everything either at a little shop that they like or have it delivered to their house. So Lululemon closed Q3 with a total of 552 company-operated stores. This is up from 521 at the end of 2020. And we should note that it opened 18 new company stores during the third quarter. The company's focused on expansion in Asia and elsewhere, since it's mostly in North America, with heavily in US and Canada and Australia at the moment. So they're trying to expand beyond those areas. So all of these efforts have helped Lululemon's annual revenue growth by an average of 17% in the past 5 years. This includes 11% expansion in its COVID hit 2020. We should note that its third quarter of 2021, its revenue climbed 27%, with comparable store sales up 32%. So that's a really strong growth for this company. And looking ahead, we're calling for its fourth quarter revenue to be up 23%, with its adjusted earnings to be up about 27%. And overall, we're calling for its full year 2021 revenue to climb 42%, from $4.4 billion all the way up to $6.3 billion. This is, as I said, coming on top of really strong run of growth. So this is not like this is against some easy to compare period. So massive 42% growth from $4.4 billion to $6.3 billion. And then we're calling for 64% growth on the bottom line. And then looking ahead to 2022, we're calling for another 16% growth all the way up to about $7.3 billion. And then another 18% growth on the bottom line. So some really impressive years of continual growth for Lululemon, despite all of the current supply chain worries and rising prices and all that. People are still wanting to buy their Lululemon clothing. And overall, the company's earnings estimates have remained relatively stagnant over the last couple months, so not much to report there. So the stock grabs a Zacks ranked number three hold at the moment. That said, it has easily surpassed our bottom line estimates in the trailing three quarters. It beat by 17% last quarter, and 37% the quarter before that, and 27% prior to that. We should also note that its apparel market is in the top 15% of our over 250 Zacks industries at the moment. And Wall Street remains relatively high. 14 of the roughly 22 brokerage recommendations that we have for the stock are sitting at strong buys, with only one below a hold. And with that said, so we mentioned at the top that Lululemon had climbed about 400% in the past 5 years. Despite that climb, the stock is down about 1% in the last 12 months versus the S&P 500. It's 14% jump, even though this has outpaced the industry's 8% decline. The reason for this now 1% decline over the last 12 months is that it's down 35% from its November highs. That said, the stock did pop 2.4% the last time we looked on Tuesday morning to about $315 per share. So with that 35% decline from its November peaks, that has really helped recalibrate its valuation, with it now trading about 56% beneath its highs at 33 times forward 12-month earnings, which is also below its five-year median of 37 times. And it's really not even too far above Nike's 29.5 times forward 12-month earnings, despite them being at rather dramatically different stages in their company history. So longer-term investors really might want to consider buying Lululemon stock as part of a broader retail exposure within your portfolio. For, as I mentioned, their growth outlook is still rather insane and impressive. And even though fashion is always changing, it's not necessarily going to be in the next 5 years that all of a sudden people just stop going away from this more comfortable athletic style look. And their growth outlook certainly shows that to be the case. So that said, Nike's results also on Tuesday help maybe make it even more of an enticing play in the near term as well as the long term for Lululemon, which reports, as we mentioned, with all three of these stocks next Tuesday, March 29th. And the last stock we're going to look at is RH, which reports its fourth quarter and full year 2021 results next Tuesday as well. So the luxury furniture retailer, which is formerly known as Restoration Hardware, which you'll probably still hear most people refer to it as Restoration Hardware, has soared over the last several years as part of, and this is part of a much longer run since it went public, and it's benefited from the booming housing market. That said, RH shares, like many huge pandemic winners, have really fallen back to earth, and this could present a enticing buying opportunity for near-term and longer-term investors. So diving into the broader strategy and why RH has been so successful, it is a high-end furniture and home decor giant that's really thrived in a changing retail landscape by keeping it somewhat old school. It's focusing on its in-store experiences. It has still its massive catalogs that it sends to people. It's opened even larger and more luxury-centered stores with accompanying bars and restaurants. And this is in cities such as Chicago and New York. I know people in my family have gone to, there's now multiple locations, one in downtown Chicago and one now in the more suburban area of Chicago, these RH stores with attached restaurants, and I think they're very popular, seemingly. It's also trying to expand its international footprint, and the company is also trying to expand even beyond these stores and bars and restaurants into the housing and hotel market with RH guest houses and residencies. The broader aim is to get into other areas to create a massive luxury ecosystem of, quote, products, places, services, and spaces that aim to inspire customers to dream, design, dine, travel, and live in a world thoughtfully curated by RH, creating emotional connection unlike any other brand in the world. So, as I said, it's now this broader portfolio of not only you can buy an RH couch, you can eat at an RH dining establishment or get a drink at their bar while you shop for your high-end table. You can also, in the future, start staying at a house or a hotel from RH. We should look back at their revenue. So the company has grown its revenue at a really solid pace since its debut on the public markets back in 2012, with some really big years of growth mixed in with some more subdued years of growth. But it's grown its top line every year since its public debut. It's also expanded its gross margins for five straight years, with its 2021 gross margin up at nearly 47%, up from about 41% before that. As you mentioned, the company benefited from the booming housing market and increased at-home spending. We saw home sales hit records, had their highest levels in a long time in 2021, and home buying and updating are unlikely to necessarily just stop, even though we have interest rates going back up, because millennials are now driving the housing market. We should also note that the pandemic was far less impactful on the higher income Americans, which bodes well for RH, since this is a luxury store where people are spending sometimes $10,000 on a couch or something like that. So these people are still furnishing their homes, and many people bought second homes or third homes during the pandemic. So this has all been beneficial for RH, and people are just spending more money on things that are closer to them from the pandemic. We saw the company post record Q3 revenue last quarter, and that came on top of, as we mentioned, solid growth before that. Its net revenue increased 19% last quarter to about $1 billion, and it was up 49% compared to 2019's Q3, which represented its strongest two-year growth ever. And looking ahead, we're calling for 33% revenue growth this year, from $2.9 billion all the way up to $3.8 billion. And then we're calling for another 10% revenue growth next year, all the way up to $4.2 billion. And then we're calling for 46% adjusted earnings growth in 2021, and then even higher growth, even though it's set to slow down in 2022. Like with Lulu, the longer-term earnings revisions have remained relatively stagnant in the last several months, so the stock grabs a Zacks Ranked number 3 hold at the moment. That said, in the last week, we have seen some slightly higher estimates come in above consensus, about 1% for the current quarter. So maybe we could see the possibility of a beat next week. And it's beat by an average of 14% in the trailing four quarters, including a 5% beat last quarter and then a big 29% beat the quarter before that. So along with its Zacks Ranked number 3 hold, it sports an overall A VGM score, with A for growth, A for momentum, and a B for value. And the retail and home furnishing industry that it's a part of is still in the top 14% of over 250 Zacks industries, despite all of the worries about supply chain crunches and rising prices and the fact that interest rates are going up and the housing market could cool down. And we should also note that 9 of the 13 brokerage recommendations we have are strong buys, with the others all coming in at hold. And then in terms of its stock price performance, it's been really impressive. If you look at RH, the stock has soared 900% in the last 5 years. This crushes the S&P 500's 100% climb and its industry's 65% run. This includes a massive 350% climb off those COVID lows roughly 2 years ago. And yet it's still down 25% in the last 12 months. And it's actually now trading about 50% below its August peaks at $375 per share, to trade right around where it was in September of 2020, having lost a large chunk of those COVID gains, which is pretty good since it got pretty out of whack like a lot of these stocks did. So it's fallen back to earth and now sitting at far more enticing levels. And in terms of valuation, so the big fall along with its strong earnings outlook has seen its valuation drop by 60% from its highs in the last several years. And even lower, it was at even higher peaks back in 2017. So it's trading at 13.7 times forward 12-month earnings at the moment. This also marks a 30% discount to its five-year median and the S&P 500, its current 19.7. So yeah, as I mentioned, it's trading at 13.7 times forward 12-month earnings, which is far below its highs, 30% discount to its median. So its valuation is now right back to really solid levels for longer-term investors to consider buying at the moment. And it's also trading at a solid discount compared to the broader industry it's in, which is trading at 25.3 times forward 12-month earnings. That said, Some investors might be a little nervous because the stock is pretty heavily shorted. It's about 13% at the moment, but it's kind of been like this for a while, and the stock has outperformed for the long haul and off those COVID lows. Still, some investors might be a little nervous about that. Others who can handle that might want to consider taking a chance in RH, both in the near term and the long term. And we saw the stock climb about 1.5% Tuesday morning alongside the market. So that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.